Chapter 14, The Enlightened One. He conquers and is not conquered. None in the world enters what he conquers. He is the Buddha, the Enlightened One, infinitely aware, leader of himself, impossible to describe in the languages of men. No desires like nets trap him. No passions like poison affect him. He is the Buddha, the Enlightened One, infinitely aware, leader of himself, impossible to describe in the languages of men. Even the gods imitate wise men, the enlightened, the dignified, the meditating, the free. Hard it is to get born human. Hard it is to live like a human. Hard it is to listen to Dhamma. Hard to achieve the state of enlightenment. Avoid evil, do good, cleanse your mind. This is the teaching of the enlightened ones. Be patient. Long patience is high penance. Nothing is higher than nirvana. No monk hurts, no ascetic oppresses another. No malice, no injury. Disciplined eating and behaving. High thinking and simple living. This is the teaching of the enlightened ones. A rain of gold coins will not quench passion. The wise man knows passions are passing and painful. Divine pleasures will not quench passion. Delight lies only in the destruction of desire. Afraid, man runs to a place of safety, to mountains, forests, sacred trees, and shrines. Nothing is safe. Not one of these is safe. When he arrives there, his passions accompany him. The only safety is the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha, the Four Noble Truths. The Enlightened One knows this. Suffering, the cause of suffering, the end of suffering, and the Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the end of suffering. That is your refuge. That only is safe. Having reached that safety, all sorrows cease. A noble man is hard to find. The house where he is born prospers. Blessed is the birth of the Enlightened One. Blessed is the teaching of Dhamma. Blessed are they who make the Sangha. Blessed are they who live in harmony. The man who respects those worthy of respect, whether the Enlightened One or his disciples, those who have conquered and crossed the stream of sorrow. The man who pays respect to those who are free from the world, free from fear. Such a man's merit is measureless. Chapter 15, Happiness. Let us live happily, hating none though others hate. Let us live without hate among those who hate. Let us live happily, free from disease among the diseased. Let us live diseaseless among the diseased. Let us live happily, ungrieving among others who grieve. Let us live without grief among those who grieve. Let us live happily without possessions. Let us feed on happiness like the shining gods. Victory breeds hate. The defeated will grieve. Who goes beyond victory and defeat is happy. No fire like passion, no sickness like hate, no grief like the ego's, and no joy like peace. No disease like greed, no sorrow like desire. He who knows this is fit for nirvana. No gift like health, no wealth like calm of mind, no faith like trust, no peace like nirvana. He who drinks from Dhamma the sweetness of solitude and the sweetness of serenity finds freedom from fear and freedom from sin. Living with fools is endless pain. Better to live with an enemy instead. Living with wise men, like living with kinsmen, brings happiness. Like the moon moving among star clusters, one should move among the wise, the holy, the faithful, the noble. This is the essence of wisdom. Chapter 16. Pleasure. Who runs after pleasure and shuns meditation, losing himself in the delights of the world, envies the man who prefers meditation. Give up both pleasant and unpleasant. Missing the pleasant is pain, and finding the unpleasant is also pain. To lose what one loves is pain, for which reason control the senses. Only he is free who neither likes nor dislikes. Liking brings grief, liking brings fear. The man who curbs liking is free from grief and free from fear. Affection brings grief, affection brings fear. The man who curbs affection is free from grief and free from fear. Desire brings grief, desire brings fear. The man who curbs desire is free from grief and free from fear. Craving brings grief, craving brings fear. The man who curbs craving is free from grief and free from fear. Dear to the world is the man who is truthful, virtuous, and discriminating, who pursues his own business, which is devotion to Dhamma. Only he crosses the stream of life, who wishes to know what is known as unknowable, who is lord of his senses and filled with dedication. When, after a long journey, a man returns home safely, kinsmen, friends, and well-wishers rejoice. So, when a man travels from this birth to the next, his good deeds rejoice, waiting like kinsmen to receive a friend. Chapter 17. Anger. Throw away anger. Give up pride. Give up worldly desires. How can grief touch you if nothing is your own? Anger gallops like a wild chariot. Hold it firm. Steady it. Be the true charioteer. Don't just finger the reins. Be gentle with anger. Do good to evil. Be generous to the miser. Truthful to the liar. Be truthful, curb anger, be liberal. Three ways to go to the gods. Saints subdue their bodies, saints injure nobody. They find the eternal peace in which is no grieving. Those who are wakeful, who study day and night, who struggle for nirvana, find the eternal peace. Tell me, Atula, who is spared? They blame the garrulous one, and they blame the quiet one. An old truth, Atula, true even now. There was never, there never will be, there is not now, a man for whom there is all blame or all praise. But the man who is known by those who know to be spotless, wise, meditative, and virtuous, he is like a gold coin found in the Jambu River. Who dares blame him? The gods praise him. Brahma praises him. Beware of the restless body. Learn to discipline it. Use the purified body to follow Dhamma. Beware of the restless tongue. Learn to discipline it. Use the purified tongue to speak truth. Beware of the restless mind. Learn to discipline it. Use the purified mind to practice virtue. They are well disciplined indeed, whose body, speech, and mind are well disciplined. Chapter 18. Impurity. Here you are, a withered leaf, waiting for the messenger of death. You stand at the threshold, unprepared for the journey. Be a lamp to yourself, be like an island. Struggle hard, be wise. Cleansed of weakness, you will find heaven, the land which few find. Life is over, and you stand in death's presence. Oh, unprepared for the journey, there is no rest on this road. Be a lamp to yourself, be like an island. Struggle hard, be wise. Cleansed of weakness, you will find freedom from birth and old age. As a smith removes flaws in silver, a wise man removes flaws in himself, slowly, one by one, carefully. Iron breeds rust, and rust devours iron. So ill deeds devour their doer. As a house unprepared decays, goodness unrepeated declines. Neglect of one's appearance decays it. Neglected, the mind stagnates. Impure is the woman immodest. Impure the calculated giver. Impure are all evil deeds, now and forever. But nothing is more impure, O bhikkhus, than ignorance. Cast aside ignorance, and all becomes pure. Life is easy for the shameless crow strutter, the mischief maker, the minder of other people's business, the insolent and the evil-minded. Hard is life for the humble man, hard for the pure, the clear-thinking, the disinterested, and the gentle person. Who takes life, tells a lie, covets others' wealth, commits adultery, and surrenders himself to strong liquors, even in this world, digs his own grave. Listen, O man. Indiscipline begets evil. Avarice and ill deed bring long misery. Some give out of faith, others out of goodwill. Forget the giving of others, or, day and night, envy will oppress you. Who forgets the giving of others has peace of mind day and night because he has rooted out envy. No fire like passion, no jailer like hate, no snare like delusion, no torrent like craving. How easy to see the faults of others, we winnow them like chaff. How hard to see one's own. We hide them like cheating at dice. How will he destroy his own passions, who rouses them by watching others' faults, who is forever finding something to condemn? There is no path in the sky, there is no refuge anywhere. All is of the world, worldly. Only the Buddhas are free of the world. There is no path in the sky. There is no refuge anywhere. Nothing in the changing world is unchanging. Only the Buddhas are free from change. Chapter 19. The Disciple of Dhamma. Force is not Dhamma. Who uses it, not righteous. Only he is wise who sees clearly before acting. Non-violence is Dhamma. Who uses it, righteous. He is Dhamma's guardian. He is wise and just. Because he talks much, a man is no pandit. But because he is loving, fearless, and serene. Because he talks much, he does not know Dhamma, but because he acts well, though his learning be little. Because he has gray hair, he is not an elder. Many put on ripeness, and are not therefore wise. Only he is an elder who is truthful and virtuous, disciplined, nonviolent, innocent, and wise. The man who is envious, evil, avaricious, by good looks and loud talk, cannot change overnight. Only he who roots out these three great evils can be said to be handsome, guiltless, and wise. A liar with a shaven head does not make a monk. How can a monk be restless and deceitful? But the man in whom evil, small or big, has died out, he is the true monk, subduer of his passions. He who begs for alms is not the true bhikkhu, only he who follows every word of Dhamma. The man who is chaste, beyond good and evil, who takes refuge in knowledge, is the true bhikkhu. A fool will not be wise by holding his tongue. The man who thinks clearly, examining good and evil, and ends by choosing good is the wise man. He has weighed what is thought of as worthy to be weighed. It is not by hurting creatures that a man becomes excellent. Only by nonviolence is excellence achieved. Not by discipline or vows, not by great learning, not by sleeping alone, not by serene meditation, will I find nirvana. Work hard, O bhikkhu. O bhikkhu, do not rest till all evils die out. Chapter 20. The Path. Of paths, the best is the eightfold. The four truths are the best truths. The best virtue is detachment. Best among men, he who follows Dhamma. This is the path. It leads to insight. It liberates. Follow it. Mara the temptress is helpless before it. End your suffering. Follow it. This is my path, preached after the arrows fell away from me. work out your nirvana with diligence. The Buddha's only set examples. Those who follow Dhamma and practice meditation are freed from the traps of Mara the temptress. Whatever consists of component parts must perish. It is wisdom to know this. This knowledge destroys grief and leads to liberation. Whatever consists of component parts is full of grief. It is wisdom to know this. This knowledge destroys grief and leads to liberation. Whatever consists of component parts is not the real self. It is knowledge to know this. This knowledge destroys grief and leads to liberation. Wake up. It is time to wake up. You are young, strong. Why do you waver? Why are you lazy and irresolute? This is not the way to wisdom. Be strict with speech. Control your mind. Let not the body do evil. This is the way to wisdom. These the three roads leading to it. Meditation brings wisdom. Lack of meditation is folly. These are the two roads, one leading forward, one backwards. Choose the right one, the one that leads to wisdom. Not one tree. Cut down the whole forest. There is danger in the forest. Cut down the forest of desires, O bhikkhus, and discover the road to liberation. Destroy the smallest desire for women. It sticks one's mind to the world, as a suckling calf sticks to its mother. Take the ego like an autumn lily and snap it with your fingers. Proceed then on the path to nirvana with one who has reached as your guide. This I choose for my winter home, this for the monsoon, this for summer. The words of a fool. He fails to see his final destination. Like floods that come and sweep away a sleeping village, death descends on the drowsy mind, greedy for children and cattle. Nothing saves, not father, not sons, not kinsmen. They cannot save a man from death. Therefore, think deeply. Like the wise and virtuous man, stay on the path that leads to liberation. Chapter 21. Varied Advice. Small pleasures given up for a larger joy. This is the way of the wise, the far-seeing man. Happiness for oneself by hurting others, the way of the fool to get trapped in hate. To be done, discarded, not to be done, done. The way of the wicked to increase his grief. To be done, observed, not to be done, discarded. Proper control practiced on the demands of the body. The way of the thoughtful to end all impurity. He kills his father and his mother. He kills two Kshatriya kings. He slaughters all the subjects of a kingdom. And the saint, unaffected, proceeds as he is. He kills his lust and ignorance. He kills ambition and pride. He slaughters all the evils of the body, and the saint, unaffected, proceeds as he is. The disciples of Gautama are always awake, day and night, thinking of the Enlightened One. The disciples of Gautama are always awake, day and night, thinking of the Dhamma. the disciples of Gautama are always awake, day and night, thinking of the Sangha. The disciples of Gautama are always awake, day and night, thinking of disciplining the body. The disciples of Gautama are always awake, day and night, delighting in compassion and love. The disciples of Gautama are always awake, day and night, delighting in pure meditation. It is painful to renounce the world. It is painful to enjoy the world. It is painful to be a householder. It is painful to be unloved. It is painful to be forever wandering. O wanderer, wander no more. Suffer no more. The man of faith is revered wherever he goes. He has virtue and fame. He prospers. Good men shine even from a distance, like the Himalaya mountains, but the wicked, like arrows shot in the night, fade away. Sit alone, sleep alone, be active alone. In loneliness, continue the conquest of the self. Even in a forest, continue the quest. Chapter 22. The Downward Path. The speaker of that which is not real goes down. Also he who, doing a thing, says, I did not do it. They are men of falseness. After death they are united, they become partners. Many men dressed in saffron are ill-mannered and indisciplined. The evil deeds of such evildoers, after death, drag them down. Better for a boorish monk to swallow a red-hot steel ball than, in seeming goodness, to live on people's almsgiving. Four effects result from a fool's hankering for another man's wife. Much impurity, much restlessness, moral blame, the downward path. Do not lust for another man's wife. Much demerit follows, much punishment, much fleeting and frightened pleasure in the arms of the frightened. As a soft blade of kusa grass, handled wrongly, cuts the finger. Wrongly practiced, asceticism leads the downward path. Acts carefully performed, vows carefully kept, reluctant practice of continence, do not bring rewards with them. If a thing must be done, it must be done well. A careless sadhu will find himself no cleaner than before. Better an evil deed not done than done for future suffering. Better a good deed done now. Done, it brings no suffering. A border post is well guarded, inside and out. Guard yourself well. Not a second must be wasted. Each wasted second makes a downward path. Those who are ashamed of deeds that they should not be ashamed of, and not ashamed of deeds they should be ashamed of, such men follow false doctrines and walk the downward path. Those who fear when they should not fear, and do not fear when they ought to fear. Such men follow false doctrines and walk the downward path. Those who see evil where there is none, and see no evil where there is evil, such men follow false doctrines and walk the downward path. those who see evil where there is evil, and no evil where there is none. Such men follow the true doctrine and walk straight. Chapter 23. The Elephant. I shall suffer hard words as the elephant suffers arrows in battle. People are people, most of them ill-natured. Only the tamed elephant goes into battle. The king rides only a tamed elephant. He who tames himself is best among men. He suffers hard words patiently. Tamed mules are excellent, Sindhu horses of good breeding excellent. Excellent are elephants of war. Most excellent, however, is the self-tamer. For no animals take one to nirvana. Only the tame self sees that untrodden land. Consider the elephant, Dhanapalaka. Temples glistening with rutting juice. Restless, he does not eat. He pines for the elephant grove. The glutton and the sluggard, lapped in foolish sleep, like hogs wallowing in filth, find birth again and again. There was a time when my mind wandered freely, doing what it pleased. Now I must rule it, like the mahout with his hook ruling the rutting elephant. Check your mind, be on your guard. Pull yourself out as an elephant from mud. If you have a friend, sober, pure, and wise, let nothing hold you back. Find delight and instruction in his company. If you do not have a friend, sober, pure, and wise, walk alone, like a king who has renounced a kingdom, or an elephant roaming free in the forest. Better aloneness than the friendship of a fool. Walk alone like an elephant roaming free in the forest. Be undemanding. Stay away from sin. Friends give pleasure when needed. Friendship is good when mutual. Virtue's a friend when one dies. Giving up sorrow gives virtue. To be a mother is happy. To be a father is happy. It is happy to be a recluse. It is happy to be a saint. Happy is virtue that lasts. Happy is well-rooted faith. Happy it is to be wise. Happy to avoid sin. Chapter 24. Craving. Craving is like a creeper. It strangles the fool. He bounds like a monkey from one birth to another, looking for fruit. When craving, like poison, takes hold of a man, his sorrows increase like wild grass. When this terrible craving, fierce to subdue, is subdued, sorrows slip off like drops on a lotus leaf. This is my advice. Root out craving. Root it out, like wild grass is rooted out. Do not let death destroy you, as river waters destroy reeds. Like a tree recovering and growing if its roots are not destroyed, suffering recovers and grows if craving is not conquered. Thirty-six streams of sense flow in a man looking for pleasure. They seek passion. Their waves will sweep him away. The streams are everywhere. They flow everywhere. Passion is everywhere. Everywhere is the creeper. cut its roots with the help of wisdom. Pleasures and affections are the lot of creatures. Craving and fulfillment the normal way. Birth and old age are the usual fruits. Crazed with craving, men flee like hunted hares. They are bound in chains. They suffer again and again. Crazed with craving, men flee like hunted hares. O Bhikkhu, freedom comes only from the conquest of craving. Look at him, having conquered the forest of desire, he runs to the forest of new desires. Freed from the forest of desire, he runs to the forest of new desires, all in vain, for he runs into bondage. Iron chains are strong. There are wood fetters and fiber fetters is wisdom. But wiser to say, no fetters like those of desire, fetters of wealth, wives, sons, fetters of consuming passion. It is wisdom to say, such fetters degrade, are hard to break. Break them, renounce the world, discard desire, forsake the pleasure of the senses. Like the spider, woven in its own web, is the man gripped by his craving. Wise men renounce craving and leave the world. Wise men do not grieve, having discarded sorrow. Give up what is before, what is behind. Give up what is now and cross the stream. Then will your mind be free. Then will you cross birth and old age. Craving grows in a man, restless, passionate, pleasure-seeking. He strengthens his own fetters. Who meditates quietly, discriminates, and thinks of that which does not please the senses, cuts the fetters of death. The fearless, sinless, desireless man escapes the thorns of life. This body is his last. He is the great saint who quickly catches subtleties of words and meanings, who is desireless, who knows what comes before what. He is the Mahapurush. This body is his last. I have conquered myself. I know all. I am in all things sinless. I have renounced all. I am free from craving. I have no teacher. I have taught myself. No gift is greater than the Dhamma. No rasa sweeter than the Dhamma. No bliss is greater than the Dhamma. No conquest than being without craving. Wealth hurts the foolish, not the seekers of nirvana. Who craves wealth destroys himself as well as others. Weeds are the poison of fields, and passion the poison of man. Honor the man without passion and earn high reward. Weeds are the poison of fields, and hate is the poison of man. Honor the man without hate and earn high reward. Weeds are the poison of fields, and folly the poison of man. Honor the man without folly and earn high reward. Weeds are the poison of fields, and desire the poison of man. Honor the man without desire, and earn high reward. Chapter 25, The Bhikkhu. Control of the eye is good. Control of the ear is good. Control of the nose is good. Control of the tongue is good. Control of the body is good. Controlled speech is good. Control in everything is good. The self-controlled bhikkhu is the free bhikkhu. He is the bhikkhu whose hands and feet are controlled, who is alone, serene, happy with himself. How sweet the words of the bhikkhu who, controlling his tongue, speaks wisely of the Dhamma in speech that is humble. The bhikkhu who follows Dhamma, delights in Dhamma, meditates on Dhamma, does not stray from the true path. What he receives, he takes humbly. He does not envy others. The envious bhikkhu is never serene. Even the gods praise the bhikkhu who takes humbly what little is given. His life is pure and industrious. He is the bhikkhu who owns nothing as his, neither name nor form. He does not grieve over that which is not. That bhikkhu is tranquil, who has faith in the Dhamma. Always gentle and equanimous, he finds the holiest peace. Make the boat light, bhikkhu. Emptied, it will travel swifter. Cast away passion and hate. The road to nirvana will be easier. Cut off the five: egoism, doubt, false holiness, lust, and hatred. Destroy these five fetters, and you will have crossed the stream of life. Think, discriminate, bhikkhu. There is no time to waste. Forget the pleasures of the senses, lest, swallowing the flaming iron ball, you cry out, "I suffer." How can one without wisdom meditate? How can one without meditation be wise? Both together, meditation and wisdom, lead to nirvana. When a bhikkhu enters an empty house, he is delighted if he has knowledge of the Dhamma. When he realizes the birth and death of the body, he is delighted. He experiences the delight of wisdom. Let the wise bhikkhu begin thus, controlling the senses, practicing equanimity, following discipline as laid down in the Dhamma, and choosing pure, noble, and industrious friends. Let his life be a life of friendship. Let him perform his duties well. Then will his happiness end his suffering. O bhikkhu, be like the vasika plant that sheds its withered flowers. Shed passion and hate. That bhikkhu is calm, whose body is calm, whose mind and speech are calm, who has single-mindedly refused the world's seductions. Rouse yourself by yourself. Perfect yourself by yourself. Only such vigilance, O bhikkhu, will bring you happiness. You are your own refuge. There is no other refuge. Like the merchant taming a fine horse, tame yourself, O bhikkhu. Happy and peaceful is the bhikkhu who has faith in the Dhamma. He alone finds the state of serenity where the world's flow ceases. The young bhikkhu who ceaselessly follows the words of the Buddha, he shines on this world like a moon escaped from cloud. Chapter 26. The Brahman. Cross the stream, Brahman, strive hard, cast aside desire. All that consists of component parts will perish. Strive to know the imperishable. When the Brahman achieves full discipline and insight, all fetters fall away. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman for whom is neither this nor the other shore. who is free from the fetters of fear. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman whose passions are stilled, whose work is over, who is taintless, meditative, and saintly. The sun shines in the day, the moon delights the night. The soldier shines in his armor, the Brahman in meditation. But the radiance of the Buddha shines ceaselessly day and night. He is a Brahman who has cast aside evil. He is an ascetic whose mind is equable. He is a saint who has no impurity. If attacked, the Brahman does not return in kind. Cursed is he who kills a Brahman, more cursed a Brahman angry with a sinner. Highly regarded is the Brahman who refrains from the pleasures of the senses. Where nonviolence is practiced, suffering will cease. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who is nonviolent in body, speech, and mind, who has firmly controlled these three. As a Brahman worships before the ritual fire, so should a man worship before one who has understood fully the Dhamma of the Buddha. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who practices truth and Dhamma. Not matted hair, not noble birth, not caste make a Brahman. A Brahman makes his own holiness. Fool, what will matted hair do? What will garment of goat skin do? What use polishing the outside if the inside is foul? Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who is lean and veined, solitary and serious, who wears cast-off garments. Who is a Brahman? Not always he whose mother is a Brahman, not he who is known to possessions, but he who is detached. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who is unshakable, fetter-free, beyond attachment, separated from the world. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who has cut the link, the thong, the rope, who has broken free, who is fully awake. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who, though innocent, endures mockery, insult, prison, whose strength is patience, whose army is fortitude. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who is never angry, who is pure and restrained, who notes religious duties and follows moral rules, for whom there is no rebirth. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who does not cling to pleasures, like a drop of water on a lotus leaf, like a seed of mustard on the tip of an awl. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who even in this world is free, whose burden is ended, whose sufferings are over. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman whose knowledge is deep and wisdom profound, who knows right from wrong and has realized truth. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who stays away from the well-housed and the houseless, who does not live in houses and has few wants. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who does not use the rod to punish creatures, moving or unmoving, who neither kills nor conspires to kill. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who is gentle among the aggressive, peaceful among those with uplifted sticks, detached among the attached. Who is the Brahman? He is the Brahman whose passion, hate, pride, and hypocrisy fall away like a mustard seed from the tip of an awl. who is a Brahman. I call him Brahman whose speech is truthful, soft, clear, inoffensive. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who does not take what is not given, long or short, big or small, good or bad. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who covets neither this world nor the next, who has no desires, who is separated from the world. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who has no desires, whose doubts have been dissipated, who has reached the final goal. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who has gone beyond good and evil, who has no sorrow, no passion, no taint. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who is pure, serene, joylessly tranquil, like the moon. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who has crossed the mire of birth and delusion, so difficult to cross, and reached the other shore, who is calm, meditative, without greed, without doubt. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who gives up sensual pleasures, wanders homeless, and has renounced all desire for existence. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman whose passions are all conquered, who wanders homeless, who has renounced all craving for existence. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who has cast off attachment to things of the world and to things divine, and has risen above both. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who has renounced the pleasurable as well as the unpleasurable, who is calm and unruffled, free from rebirth, the conquering hero of the three worlds. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who, knowing that things perish and are reborn, lives nobly, thinks purely. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who, knowing that things perish and are reborn, lives nobly, feels purely, thinks clearly. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman whose ways are known neither to gods, spirits, or men, who has exhausted his sins and become a saint. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who has nothing, for he is unattached, for whom is neither before, behind, nor between. Who is a Brahman? He is a Brahman who is brave as a bull, noble, wise, pure, conqueror of death, the awakened one. Who is a Brahman? I call him Brahman who knows his previous births, knows heaven and hell, is a saint with perfect wisdom, and has done all that needed to be done.